Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Kawai Hindu Lectures. The titles are Changing the Subconscious and Sub of the Subconscious, presented by Sri Shivaya Bodhinatha Velayatha Swami. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Good morning, everyone. Thought I'd read from the Merging with Shiva chapter, which starts tomorrow. It's a new chapter on the subconscious mind. What is your subconscious mind? Think about this for a minute. Realize that everything that has once passed through your conscious mind in the form of experience is resident right now within your subconscious. Not only that, but embedded within the cellular structure of your body, in the DNA code, one of the most formidable discoveries of modern science, lie all the experiences of your genetic history. The life, the biological evolution of your forefathers is all registered in the molecular strands of your subconscious, capable of being recalled into memory. In our study together, we will be concerned with much more than the negative areas of the subconscious. We will discover that the subconscious can be a great help in our daily life. Once we learn to impress it properly and consciously utilize the latent powers within it, then it ceases to be a deterrent to well-being and becomes a tool available at all times and under all circumstances as we progress through the experiences of life. Subconscious mind, like the conscious mind, has a form of its own. It is given form, shape, and momentum by the nature of your experiences in life and the way you react to them. Most people are not happy with the form of their subconscious mind. They are still reacting to early experiences, early environments. They are still reacting, Some people go to great expense in trying to change the form of their subconscious mind through therapy or travel. But because there is no absolution in either, in the time they generally manage to recreate their subconscious in the same old form. Childhood experiences do have a profound influence on one's makeup in life, but these influences are by no means binding. Any attitude, any personality conflict or block in the subconscious can be demagnetized and resolved. How do we change the form of the subconscious? We purify it by resolving and understanding those experiences which have created it. How do we resolve those experiences through understanding? We bring them up into the light and face them without reaction. By resolving our reactive experiences and understanding, the subconscious becomes more and more transparent to our own view and therefore necessarily undergoes positive change. To be able to objectively observe one's own experiences without reaction is one of the powers acquired through the performance of sadhana. So this is an important point here that Gurudev is making. He starts out by saying, what's in the subconscious? Everything that is passed through your conscious mind in the form of experience is resonant right now within your subconscious. And then he adds here the idea that also our reactions to these experiences are in the subconscious mind. So, changing the subconscious, he points out, is by understanding those experiences, bringing them up into the light and facing them. So there's a statement Gurudeva makes. He says, all experiences are good if we understand the lesson from them. Every experience is a good experience. What makes it a good experience is our understanding the lesson from it. That's what makes it a good experience. So, you know, normally pleasant things, we call them good experiences, and unpleasant things, we call them bad experiences. But that's kind of looking at it in a external way. So Gurudeva deepens that by saying, no, a good experience is any experience where we get the lesson from it. Bad experience is one where we haven't yet understood the lesson. Because sometimes we learn the most from doing the wrong thing or from difficult times. We gain great lessons. So we don't want to label those as bad experiences or unpleasant experiences, because they can actually teach us the most through understanding. So one of the core ideas here, it's so basic, you almost just let it go by, is that we can change the form of the subconscious. So that's important to reflect upon. Some individuals who haven't studied Gurudeva's teachings or similar teachings, you know, they are the way they are. And they'll tell you all about their childhood and how their mother did this to them and their father did that to them and their siblings did this and their teacher did that. And 10 years from now, if you sit down, they'll say the same thing. Why? Because they haven't understood the process of changing the subconscious mind. Now, that's what happened to us. But if some of the things weren't very pleasant, we can still change the form of the subconscious mind by understanding them and forgiving people and so forth. Different processes we go through change us. And therefore, 10 years from now, we wouldn't explain it in the same way. You know, that which would made us cry in the past, we'd smile at in the future. You know, because we've changed our perspective on it. But all of that requires some philosophical background. In other words, I know of some individuals who have jumped into the Master Course study and read about Vasanada Tantra, writing down their experiences and burning them up, which we'll look at in a minute, tried to do it and couldn't do it. Basically, the experiences they had in life still overwhelmed them. And sitting down and thinking about them, all it did was make the experiences worse. So what was lacking? Well, what was lacking is a philosophical foundation. Said another way, what is lacking is a concept of ourself as a divine being, as a soul. If we don't think of ourselves as a divine being, then this process can be impossible if we've had a difficult life. So that's why Gurudeva says, first step in studying his teachings is to learn the philosophy. That's the first step. Really study Dancing with Shiva and become convinced you're a divine being and not a flawed being. Be convinced on the inside you're always pure and perfect, regardless of what you did or what happened to you. You're a divine being on the inside. Whatever you did, whatever you experienced, doesn't change that fact. You really have to talk yourself into it. Convince yourself. And then once you have that perspective, then you're ready to start unraveling the subconscious and changing it, improving it. So how do we improve it? By straightening out our understanding of the past. That's the first way we improve the subconscious mind. Or said another way, if you want to remodel a room in your house, what do? You take everything out of it, right? So this is the first step, taking everything out of the room. Take all the junk out. Take all the clutter out. Then you're ready for the second step, which we'll look at in a minute. Suppose when you were young, you stole some money from your mother's purse. She promised me this once and broke her promise, you rationalized. Besides, I really need it, you add. Then because you are not particularly pleased with yourself, you pack this experience away in a corner of the subconscious where you will not need to think about it. You suppress it. But the next day your mother casually mentions the subject of money to you, and you react or emotionally reenact the experience. You feel guilty. Not wanting to think about it, you suppress it again, deeper in the subconscious. Suppose that later in life your mother has become seriously ill, and in a reflective mood you realize that you have not been close to her for many years. Mixed in with a rush of buried memories, you come across the incident of the stolen money. For the first time, you appreciate and realize the sense of guilt that had lingered, influencing your life since that time in 100 subtle ways. In the light of understanding, the experience suddenly becomes clear to you, and you objectively and unemotionally see yourself as you were at that time. You feel relieved and strangely lifted, not because you were able to analyze why you stole the money, but because in totally facing and accepting yourself in that circumstance, you realize that you have expanded beyond it into a new realm. So that's a good point there. It's talking about resolving it. So he's giving a good key here. That experience is resolved because in totally facing and accepting yourself in that circumstance, you realize that you have expanded beyond it. So accepting what you did and realizing that at that point in time, that's who you were. You're not that person now, but that's who you were then, and you moved on. Accepting that is the key. Intuition travels through a purified subconscious. Before we can utilize the superconscious or intuitive realms of the mind, we must be able to resolve those past experiences which may still vibrate in our subconscious. Realize, however, that you need not seek out mental repressions. Simply face each one honestly as it naturally arises in life. Imagine that you are trying to arrive at an important business or family decision. All the facts you need to know have already been outlined, yet you find yourself frustrated and not being able to arrive at a clear decision. The more you concentrate upon the problem, the more obscure does the answer seem. What your conscious mind isn't aware of is that the personality problems you are having with your superior at the office or with your spouse at home are clouding the issue. Soon after, while relaxing on a family outing, thinking about nothing in particular, a great feeling of compassion, forgiveness, and understanding wells up within you, and all at once that bright idea needed to solve the problem comes to you unbidden. So that's pointing out two ideas regarding a bright idea from our intuition. The first is that as long as there's some conflict, some mental argument going on with someone else, that blocks our intuition. You know, we have to resolve any sense of disagreeing with someone that's going on in our mind, kind of, you know, talking to them in our mind and complaining about them or whatever we go through. You know, that has to quiet down. We have to get rid of that. And then we have to relax. Tension or being too externalized blocks the intuition. So we need to relax. You know, going for a short walk is a simple way to relax, enjoying the environment, making sure you're not thinking, you know, you're just enjoying the environment. You're not still thinking about something and walking along and almost running into objects. Rather, it's the opposite. You know, you're totally observing where you're walking with a quiet mind. You do that for 10 minutes, and if you have no personal conflicts going on in your mind, then intuition is likely to come through in that kind of situation. There's a related sutra. My devotees succeed by remolding subconscious magnetic forces. They purge the dross through Vasana Daha Tantra, writing and burning past transgressions and current problems, then use positive affirmations. So Vasana Daha Tantra is a systematic way of facing these past experiences, you know, going through each year and writing it down 10 pages or more, burning it up, and the related other steps, gets rid of it in a very successful way. So that's, as we said, it's like clearing out the room. If you want to remodel the room first, you clear it out. But then you have to redecorate. So what's the redecoration? Well, the redecoration is positive affirmations. So it's a two-step process. We clear out the past through Vasanadha Tantra, through understanding our experiences, and then we change the nature of the subconscious, consciously change it through the use of affirmations. So there's a nice statement here I made. Then it is time to rebuild the subconscious, remold it, change its form, change its magnetic content through the power of affirmation. So that's the point Gurudeva made in the first lesson, is we can change the subconscious. So we change it in two ways. We clear out the past, and then we reprogram it with affirmation. So this is from Gurudeva's chapter on affirmations. The first affirmation that Gurudeva gives in the chapter on affirmations emerging with Shiva is, I can, I will, I am able to accomplish what I plan. There are a number of other good affirmations in this chapter, but we'll just focus on this one. An affirmation such as this, the idea is we repeat it quite a lot.
Good morning, everyone. Today we start a new chapter, Emerging with Shiva, in our daily lesson, Sub of the Subconscious Mind. Sometimes it seems a bit obscure, but I thought I'd give it a go. There is one area of the subconscious mind that seems rather devious and extremely hard to program. It is called the Sub of the Subconscious Mind. It often could seem like faulty software in the computer. But when finally programmed correctly, it can become the greatest asset, brings us good luck, and assists with perfect timing through life. At times we feel as if nothing is happening to us anymore. Everything is going along smoothly. We walk up to a closed door, and the door opens for us. We walk up to a telephone, and it begins to ring. These signs show us that the subconscious is going along very nicely. As soon as we do not enjoy this fine timing, it is generally because of the sub of the subconscious area. For when two programs of a similar nature go into the subconscious computer at different times, they mix and mingle and form a third program within the subconscious that is difficult to fathom intellectually. It is recorded in the sub of the subconscious. For this reason, the sub of the subconscious mind seems awesome and foreboding. If both of the programs are good, beneficial, positive, and spiritually vibrant, things go smoothly for us. But if they are not, this area of the subconscious can be very disturbing. Remedies are deep introspection and emotional intellectual honesty. The subconscious can become very powerful, creating healthy new tendencies in this life and molding a dynamic personality. Two thoughts at different times sent into the subconscious mind form, in what is called the sub of the subconscious, a totally different rate of vibration when intermingled. That is, if the psychological arrangement of the mind was the same at the time each thought entered it. This subconscious formation of thought often turns into feelings of the lower instinctive nature and causes the external mind to react to situations in a way that it would normally not have done. The subconscious mind not only attracts situations that express its contents, but creates situations by playing upon the subconscious itself. The sub of the subconscious mind, therefore, is the part of the subconscious that stores and manages the unfathomable result of the combinations of intense, emotionally charged experiences, either positive or negative. These combinations create a third hybrid reactionary condition, quite unlike what either experience alone could have caused. Color shall be our example. Blue stands alone as a color, and so does yellow. When they merge, they make a third color, green, which creates a mood when you look upon it, different than the mood that arises from looking upon blue or yellow alone. Only in understanding that green is a composite of yellow and blue, Only an understanding that green is a composite of yellow and blue is the mystery dispelled. Add white to red and you get pink. Add water to soil and you get mud. This is easy to understand and shows the nature of impressions coming together in the subconscious. Add oxygen to hydrogen and you get water. That is a mystery which parallels the nature of the subconscious mind, a realm where 1 + 1 = 3. Well, in the subconscious, the sum is 2. So, I found an analogy. One of the things we're going to do on the India Inner Search program is go over some of the basics before we jump into the 12 Mamsani, because everyone has quite a varied background, and so kind of go through the 5 states of mind and the 3 phases of mind. So for that, I found an analogy, for that material, I found an analogy which I think helps on the subconscious. It's about a surveillance camera at a retail store. So that's easy to imagine. A surveillance camera at a retail store sees and hears everything that happens in the store. That's like the conscious mind, right? Conscious mind sees and hears everything that goes on. The information is recorded on tapes and placed in a storeroom. That's like the subconscious mind. Most tapes are uneventful. However, some record significant events, both positive and negative. A positive event example is visits of important people to the store. A negative event example is a robbery. Such major events are stored separately on special shelves. Events of the same type are placed next to each other, subconscious mind. So that's the idea, is normally what we experience just goes into the subconscious mind and it doesn't really impress us, but really important things in the case of the subconscious mind, it's important because it's emotionally charged, as Gurudeva says. We've gotten excited about something, either positively or negative. So those events are stored adjacent to one another, so to speak, and that's why they combine. So you get 2 events of a positive nature, something that happens at a festival combines in a positive way and helps you have better experiences at future festivals. 2 events of a negative kind, like some disaster in public speaking, that's happened twice. Every time you have to give a speech, you find yourself getting sick. I can't go, I'm sick today. Talk ourselves into something, avoiding the event because we've had 2 negative events in the past. So that's the idea. They're stored together because they're similar and they're special. Why are they special? Because they're emotionally intense. So we have 3 examples. Our first example is a negative example. A young man goes to an office party and accidentally spills coffee on his suit. Being a gentle, shy man, he becomes embarrassed and emotionally upset when everyone turns to look at him. Many months later, he attends his sister's wedding. In her excitement at the reception, she accidentally spills tea on her beautiful new sari. She is naturally embarrassed, but it is a psychological moment for him, intensified by his attachment to his sister, and he becomes more embarrassed for her than she is for herself. A year later, he discovers that each time he attends a social gathering, his solar plexus becomes upset, his digestion is affected, and he gets a headache and has to leave. The fear mechanism stimulated by the subconscious mind is protecting him from another upsetting condition among a group of people. This continues for a number of years until the subconscious in a semi-dream state reveals itself to him and he sees clearly how the 2 reactionary thought patterns caused by the dual experiences met and merged and gave rise to a different conscious experience, the indigestion, the headaches, and the dread of being among people. Once the obstacle was resolved in the light of understanding, he would be able to be among people in gatherings without these ill effects. The second one is a positive example in the business world. A man's business flourishes during the summer. The next winter, he experiences great exhilaration and satisfaction at winning a skiing competition. A summer success and the winter accomplishment merging in the subconscious creates a third different impression, which builds an abiding confidence and impulsion toward future victory. The next year, he goes into a second business and again prospers. His competitors wonder how he has avoided the seasonal ebbs and flows of this particular business. How has he been so lucky, they wonder. The strong impression of being successful planted in the subconscious has created a positive habit pattern for the forces of the sub-superconscious to flow through. And our last example, religious example. The sub-subconscious can also be formed by the blending of strong, intuitive, religious, or mystical impressions. For instance, a devotee has an elevating vision of a deity in an early morning dream or a conscious vision during meditation. A year later, while meditating, he has the experience of flying through the Akasha in his astral body. These two impressions merge in the subconscious and create a deep-seated faith and unwavering certainty in the inner realities. Such vasanas bring up courage and eliminate the fear of death, replacing it with the assurance that life is eternal, the soul is real, and the physical body is but a shell in which we live. Now we have seen that the subconscious state of mind can be beneficial, or it can hold impressions that are actual obstacles in our path that must eventually be dealt with and overcome. Both positive and negative impressions can lie vibrating within it at the same time without interfering one with another. So as we can see, it's the from the examples, it's the external circumstances that catalyze it to express itself. In other words, when the external conditions are the same in a general way, then that subconscious can express itself either in a positive or negative way. And if it's negative, then it generally does something that surprises us. We have a reaction that's atypical, that's something we usually wouldn't experience. That's how we know it's subconscious. It's atypical. It doesn't fit our normal reactionary patterns. It stands out. So what an odd thing for me to be experiencing. I wonder where that comes from. So Gurudeva gives a nice method and cognizant ability for eliminating negative subconscious impressions, which reads, the sub of the subconscious mind can be understood consciously when the thoughts which created this sub are traced. This will usually be found when the conscious mind is at its lowest ebb. When resting, it is possible to study the sub of the subconscious mind with ease. The body is relaxed, and the conscious mind has loosened its hold on external objects. When study has commenced, trace through the thought pictures consciously, without disturbing the overall picture. Take into consideration the fact that all thought stems from a series of influences within the ego. These influences take form and shape in thought. When you manifest pictures before you, trace them to their conception by holding the consciousness lightly over the mind, blotting out all distractions that may creep into the mind in an effort to disturb your consciousness. Remember to take your findings, whatever they may be, and consciously think them through until all doubts have been dispelled. You will then find, through your conscious effort, the sub of the subconscious has been understood consciously as well as subconsciously. The principle is to keep your mind quiet while you are studying a problem, and do not react subconsciously to the study of the problem. Sit back and quietly allow the problem to unfold before your vision. So a good time to do that is after a negative subconscious experience has occurred, which you think is subconscious because it's atypical. It's not the way you normally would react to something. It just really puzzles you why you are doing this. And maybe you can remember having done it before, too, which is another way of identifying it. Certain circumstances come up and you react, you get sick, or you get critical, or certain things happen that you normally wouldn't experience. So after that, shortly after that, if you try this process, that's the best time to find the sub of the subconscious, and if you find it, then you can eliminate it. And Gray Davis' key here, let's find it, is by holding the consciousness lightly over the mind. So it's, that means it's more an observing of what's going on rather than analysis of what's going on. In other words, we don't want to think too much about what we're seeing. We don't want to turn on the intellect and analyze it to death, what we're experiencing. We just want to keep awareness, lightly over the mind, observing it. And if we can do that, then it helps to sort it out. Okay, well, I hope that gave you some more insights into the sum of the subconscious. We won't have a test, but it's not really as challenging as it seems. It's just a little different at first to grab onto. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful phase.